Raving Lunatic Mania!
He's an angry man that has a love-hate relationship with science fiction. His beverage of choice is Rageahol, and when he's irate. Sci-Fi Malady presents Rage Master Rips a Clip.
It seems to me that in science fiction, there is often not a happy medium. What I mean by that is that a story has either too much science, in which case it becomes a documentary, or too much fiction. Since actual science isn't as fun as pew pew zoom Michael Bay explosion, most stories tend to undercut it. There are some notable exceptions that find that happy medium. Examples are The Expanse, 2001, The Martian, and Interstellar. However, the rest just go for the amazing visuals, awesome action, relationships, and half-baked thought provokers for the Scott Kennisons of the world. Or that failing, Bruce Willis playing John McClane again. Hey, it worked with Armageddon, right? Today, I rip into these examples with a clip from Prometheus. Here you had a movie that was going to be a precursor to Alien. Or not. Or some other expanded franchise. Or it was set up to be the precursor of the actual prequels to Alien, or... You know what? Ridley Scott is just winging it at this point. I wouldn't be surprised to hear that his ideas come from off-the-cuff remarks at panels. That's the problem when you don't have a central vision to your story. You just make up crap as you go. And you know who does that? 8-year-olds. Parents desperate to get their kids to sleep so they make up any story on the spot. And the kid in class who forgot to write his presentation for class, so he just does it on the fly instead of admitting he didn't do it at all. That's what most expanded universes do nowadays. And you know what? Stay focused, Rage Master. One clip at a time, one clip at a time. Okay, so back to Prometheus. There is so much to criticize in this mess, but I want to choose the moment that woke me back up. As the film started, I was interested. As it progressed, I went from confusion as to how a series of cave drawings helped these students of Eric von Daniken find LV-223. Then I felt annoyance at the sheer stupidity of the scientists who really proved that they got their degrees from Hollywood Upstairs Liberal Arts Online University. Finally, I settled on knowing that it was gonna be this way, so I just settled on apathy and boredom. I began to plan my lessons for the week in my head. I noted how the floor was awfully clean in that theater. I wondered if my friends were as bored as I at that point. I was befuddled at how the guy who brought us Alien and Gladiator could drop this bomb and got annoyed. Then I started to get upset at the realization that this movie was not going to answer any questions, but rather make more. Then I realized that no one can succeed all the time and settled back down to apathy. That is, until the clip. Prior to this clip in the film, Dr. Elizabeth Shaw is impregnated by her husband, who has had the black goop of creation injected into him. Don't worry about the details. So, thanks to said goop, a sterile woman is now impregnated by... random alien thing. David, the android, played by Magneto, tells her that she is in an accelerated pregnancy and she somehow deduces, aliens, man, aliens. So before they can put her in cryo and take her home for study, she runs into some surgery pod, which was a cool idea, to have it removed. The squid monster is removed and she is stapled up. Remember that, sickies, stapled up. If you have ever had this done, you know what it's like. Remember that. Skip ahead to a moment where an alien that made us, an engineer, is trying to take his spaceship to Earth to kill us because... some reason. However, the human ship Prometheus kamikazes it and starts to crash. Now, the clip. The way the ship crashes is on its back, then it begins to roll down on its side as this giant craft slowly falls. You can see its shadow over the parts of the landscape, which will no doubt be crushed underneath its bulky tonnage. Caught in that shadow, for plot's sake, is our hero Dr. Shaw and Vicar, played by Charlize Theron. So the two ladies try to make a run for it, in the shadow of the ship. Now, you could say they were panicking, so I'll grant you that one, because they just didn't peel off to the left or the right, but we'll just roll with that one and say they panicked. Remember when I said that Shaw was stapled up? She was stapled at the abdomen. The abdomen. How the crap is she running at full tilt? If you haven't undergone surgery in that area, ask anyone who has. after surgery, you can barely walk or sit up. How is she running like a pro? Oh, it doesn't stop there. Vickers, who is healthy and fine, can run just as fast, but is crushed by the ship because bad guy needs to die. Oh yeah, she played a bad guy. Who cares? Oh, but Dr. Elizabeth Stapled Up is able to run fast enough and hide under a small boulder that can support the weight of an aircraft carrier because alien planet super hard rock. Of course she lives on to somehow put David back together from being dismembered, because that's what you can androids do in this universe, get slashed up and then put back together with milk. And then they fly off together on an alien ship that she has never seen before. I guess the engineers made their ships as easy to handle as an Atari joystick, so Commander Riker will have an easy time of this. If you don't get that reference, Google it, because I'm too riled up to explain it. I heard people try to defend this point by saying, well, it's the future. Oh, duh, I forgot. In the future, by a half a century or so, we have somehow evolved or something so that we can be cut open and that doesn't affect us. Doi! How could I forget that? Are you serious? If you are happy to suspend that much disbelief, just say so. Just say I hit myself in the head with a figurative tack hammer to watch that, and that's why I don't care. Fine, good enough. I read comics, so I do it all the time. But don't make some lame-o excuse like that. Being stapled up will slow you down today. It'll slow you down from 45 BC. It'll do it in 1950, and it'll do it in 2358. Having your muscles cut slows you down. The date has nothing to do with it. What happened, Ridley? You, like so many other directors or writers, are like Rocky Balboa in Rocky III. You've lost the eye of the tiger. You need an Apollo Creed to show up and show you the way again. You also need to be taken out of your comfort. You played the Hollywood game, got your laurels, and now you rest on them knowing that whatever dump you take is fine because your prestige will defend you. You need to be ripped out of your house, have a lien put on your wealth and rewards, and you need to start again from scratch. You have to be put in a dank studio apartment with ramen for dinner every night life. You have to want to earn it again. You no longer are hungry, so you don't even try. Hunger for great films and stories. Starve for success and that you will do what you once did. Until then, others, including myself, will rip into you because I will not let stories or clips like this go unnoticed. I'm the Rage Master. Consider this clip ripped.
Raving Lunatic Maniac!